I didn't see Brother David when I got here, and I texted him. And I said, "Brother, we're having church this morning." And I was just messing with him. I just thought maybe he was running late. And he said, "Brother, I've been having breakfast with Brother Mark Quarles, and he said he would cover it for me." So I figured he was just joking back, you know, that he thought I was saying I was at a church service where he was supposed to be, and he wasn't there. But that was the truth. I know you came to hear Brother David. You didn't come to hear me. I feel sorry for you. I do ask that you pray this morning. My brother, when Brother James came back and asked, would I go first this morning, my brother turned around and he said, "Brother," he said, "the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season." He said, that's what this is all about. Because he didn't come with the intention of speaking this morning, but I do have a text on my mind this morning. I want to spend just a little while. I want to start in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. And I want to read the first word to start with. The first word is but. But. Now, we understand this morning that when we read God's word, that chapters and verses were not in the Bible. It was added for our benefit. So when I told you Titus 2:1, you knew exactly where to turn to, and you could get that verse pretty quickly. You could find it. But I think it's very important to understand that when you see the word but, there's always going to be a contrast. There's something said before that, that what's said after is going to be in direct contrast. If you read 2 Kings chapter 5, it talks about Naaman and all the good qualities of Naaman, and then it says, but he was a leper. Okay, so here he says, but, to begin Titus chapter 2. So let's go back and read, starting in verse 10 of chapter 1. It says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate." Then he says, in chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul had told him what was going on, what was taking place, but then he tells this young preacher Titus what is the most important thing for him to do, and it's to speak those things that become sound doctrine. It is to teach and preach what is in harmony. That become doesn't mean when you say it, then it becomes sound doctrine. No, you speak those things that are in harmony with sound doctrine. He's told them there's some folks there that are preaching heresy. And there's a lot of that goes on today. But he says, you teach, you preach the things that become sound doctrine. Well, I will tell you, when it comes to sound doctrine, you cannot understand God's word. Listen to me. You can't understand God's word until you understand the total depravity of man. That's sound doctrine. The total depravity of man. How many of you have ever seen a dead man do anything? He can't. A dead man can't. And there is no human on earth who can go down to the graveyard and call someone by name that's down in the cemetery and say, "Come forth," and they do it. But I can tell you one who did. Because he was God manifest in the flesh. Man by nature can do no good. Evil's on his mind constantly. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, for there is none righteous. No, not one. And what that is talking about is man by nature. What we are by nature, the natural man. We're carnal. That's what it says in, I think, Romans chapter 8. It says we're carnal. And then you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is what it says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Man by nature doesn't receive the things of God. Then it says, neither can he. Friends, I advise you that when you study the Bible, you ask the Lord to help you to see what you're reading and understand the things that you're reading. A lot of people today have it backwards. They believe that you start believing and seeing, then you're born again. Friends, you cannot see until you've been born again of the Spirit. You cannot see the things of God. You can't receive them. I've used this illustration, may have used it here. If we could turn the air conditioner off, which I know we don't want to, and we could be completely silent, how many of you could hear radio music? Could hear music? Not unless somebody turned it up outside or something. But you know there's music right now flowing through this building? There's much music flowing through. All kind of music. Music you want to listen to, music you don't want to listen to. People talking on the radio. But there's sound waves. But we don't have a receiver. If we had a receiver in here, we could pick up those stations. That's the way it is with the things of God. Man by nature cannot receive the things of God. They're spiritually discerned unto him. He must be born again. Well, see, to me, sound doctrine starts, Brother Joe, with understanding the total depravity of man. That's where it starts. Understanding man by nature will never do anything to please God. Have you pleased God this week? Have you done anything to please God? Have you spent any time in prayer, any time in study? I pray that this church has prayed for this meeting. I have. I'm not a member of this church. But I have prayed for this meeting. And I prayed for all the other meetings prior to. And I will pray for the meetings coming up that I'll be attending, that we'll be having. I'm looking forward to the first weekend in October, the second weekend in October. First weekend in October, the church pastor over in Mises is hosting the Good Hope Association. Praying for it. I'm not waiting until that day. I'm praying for it now. Praying for the men who will come and preach for us. Those who will come and be with us. But it starts with that. Then you've got to realize, to me, sound doctrine entails knowing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of poor, lost, and ruined sinners. You cannot save yourselves. You, listen to me, you can't, and you know this. I'm not telling you anything this morning you don't already know. I just want to remind you of it. That's all I want to do this morning. And I want to encourage these brothers here, and I know they do, to teach those things and become sound doctrine. To speak those things so it become sound doctrine. That's what I want to encourage this morning. I don't want to hear what you think. I don't hear your opinion. I want to hear what God says. And God says that man cannot save. I've had so many conversations in my life with people who do not believe like me. And they will say, well, Brother Ricky, what does it mean when it says save yourselves from this untoward generation? There it is. You can save yourself. Yes, you can. Amen. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. You can save yourself, but not eternally. You cannot save yourself eternally. But you can save yourself from the things that's going on in this world. My brother spoke on the Georgia Zoom the other night. He mentioned this verse. And I heard Elder Ricky Harcrow preach one time. He said one of the saddest verses in the Bible is that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's sad. But you know what? There's one, I think it's in Timothy. I think it is. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's sad to me. That Demas loved what's going on out here. I don't like what's going on out here. Don't like it at all. I go to the gym every morning, and I get on the bicycle, and right in front of me is televisions. And you know what's on the televisions up there? It's Fox News. I can't stand to watch it. I'm not listening to it, by the way, but I know what's going on just by seeing it. We're not to love this present world. But we got to realize that it's Jesus Christ who saves. One of the mantras of Old Baptist is Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, every single person, we sang that song when we all get to heaven this morning. When you get to heaven, when I get to heaven, when those that have never heard of the gospel preach, when that little baby that died this week, Brother Jacob and Sister Hannah Davidson, when that baby gets to heaven, you know what? We all be there, Brother Rex, the exact same way, by God's grace. He saved us. Jesus Christ saved us on the cross of Calvary. One of my favorite verses found in the Bible is Matthew 1:21, for she shall bring forth a son. I was preaching this verse in Texas one time, and some still pick at me about it. I said, some people believe in a meatloaf doctrine. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, there was a singer back in the 80s named Meatloaf, and he had a song, Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. Okay? That was his song. They will go with the first part of that, for she shall bring forth a son. They believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. For thou shalt call his name Jesus. They would go with that. They like that. But here's the kicker. For he shall save his people from their sin. That's the kicker. They won't go with that. I'll tell you, I put on my Facebook page the other day that everyone that Christ died for will be in heaven someday. And one of the guys said, unless you hear the gospel, he replied, he said, unless you hear the gospel, he said, you won't be in heaven. And I said, well, what about the thief on the cross? He said, that's the Old Testament. It's not in my Bible. No, it's the New Testament. But see, Jesus Christ says, Brother James mentioned that verse there in Revelation chapter 5. And says, he's redeemed his people out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation. You know what redeem means? Redeem means to purchase. And he has purchased his people out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation. I love Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption. Redemption came in the form of a human, my friends. And that human was 100% human. He was 100% God. And his name was Jesus. And he came to redeem his people. And friends, I got news for you. What he purchased, he's going to have. And what he purchased will be in heaven one day because of what he did, you see. He's redemption. We don't redeem ourselves. We don't purchase ourselves. I believe it's 1 Peter 1:18 says, for we were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. That's how we were redeemed. We were purchased. We were purchased, my friends, a great price. A great price. You understand that we couldn't redeem ourselves? We couldn't. We could not redeem ourselves. There's people who teach and preach out there that you can redeem yourself. Just get it right. That expression, get it right or get left. Get right or get left. Friends, I tell you, when the Lord returns, he's going to take home everyone that he died for on the cross of Calvary. He's going to take every single one that he paid for. He's taking them to heaven. And I tell you, I believe that he's coming back. What about you? And I believe he's coming back because he said he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's not going to take 1,000 years to do it, my friends. He's going to gather his children in the moment and twinkling of an eye. That's quick. That's quick. And I tell you what, when he returns, he departs that eastern sky. When he returns, the Bible says he's going to wake those sleeping bodies first. Y'all probably heard me preach enough in the last few years. I had some students ask me one day, and they wanted to scare me. They wanted me to act shocked. They said, Coach Myers, what are you going to do if you're standing by a graveyard and bodies start coming out of the ground? Well, they wanted me to say something about a zombie apocalypse or something like that. And I said, I'm going to shout hallelujah. I said, I'm going home. I'm going home. That wasn't the answer they were looking for. But you know, that's the answer I believe. I believe when he comes back and gathers us home, we're going home. And we'll be there for eternity. Well, there's a few more things here. And I'm about to close, Brother David. Brother James told me not to take much time. So I'm going to take Brother James's heed. I didn't come to preach, I can tell you for sure. I come to listen. I believe that in the eyes of God right now, that his children are righteous. We're righteous. I know when I look into the mirror, I know what I see. I see a sinner. That's what I see. And I know I fail daily. And I don't like it. I do not like it. But I believe that when God sees me, he doesn't see what I see. He sees one who is righteous. But he sees me and sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, we stand justified. We're declared righteous. I heard a black woman sing one time on a gospel show on the television. And she said when she was a kid, she wondered how a brown cow could eat green grass and give white milk. And that's probably pretty simple thinking there. And she said, then I got to thinking, how can a black soul be washed in the red blood and be as white as snow? That's the way we are. Because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been declared righteous for him shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. And let me tell you, in closing here this morning, you can go to Romans chapter 8. And there are some good things in Romans chapter 8. I heard Elder Will Martin preach at our meeting in Antioch last weekend. He said, I'm going to Romans 8. And he said, some of y'all probably think I'm going to 28 and 29 and 30. He said, that's good, but that's not where I'm going. And I thought, well, brother, whole book of Romans chapter 8 is good. Start with verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's pretty good right there. That's real good. Go down to the end of the chapter when it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That ain't sweet. I have friends of mine who believe that you can do bad here on earth and God did love you, but now he no longer loves you. My old buddy, Elder David Guthrie, heard him preach one time, and he said that he was brought up in a church who preached that yes, you could lose the love of God. And he said he got to reading Romans chapter 8, and he got down to no creature. And he said, you know what, Brother Ricky, I'm a created being. So therefore, I cannot separate myself from the love of God. Oh, I can do some things. I can do some things that don't please God. I can be disobedient and not please God. But let me tell you, if God ever loves you, he will love you forever. And I can't even address it because it's eternity. And we're such time-oriented creatures. Everything we do is by time. Everything we do. But I know one thing. As long as I have breath in me and I'm asked, like Brother James asked me to try to speak this morning, I want to speak the truth. I want to speak those things that become sound doctrine, that are in harmony with sound doctrine. I don't want anything else. And if I said anything amiss this morning, I sure expect Brother James, Brother Mickey, Brother David to correct me when church is over and say, Brother Ricky, you said this and that's not right. I do not want to mislead God's sheep at all. I thank you for your kind order and attention. May the Lord bless you.